Hello everyone, so let's just start a little bit early with Michel de Jong.
Yes.
De Jong. Solid, local first, and the ultimate bookkeeping system. Welcome.
Thank you. Is it running? Yes. So, a little talk about some thoughts I've had in the last few years working with data portability and interoperability, linked data, and you know how you separate data from applications. It all started it started here at Fosdem actually in 2011. I was working on apps that run in your browser, and some people told me, "Oh, you should quit your day job and crowdfund that." And I crowdfunded it, and then I got NLNet support, and then NLNet has been supporting me a lot. So I've been working a lot on the unhosted project, apps that run in your browser, and you connect your personal data store at runtime. We had a lot of fun. We were very young, as you can see in this photo. We went to a village called Unhost near Prague, just because it was a village with a funny name. And we offered a bottle of Klubmatte to the mayor. That's the sort of thing that we were doing. I think I received 12 NLNet grants. So if you have an open source project, ask for an NLNet grant. It only costs you a few hours to apply, and maybe you can quit your day job like I did. So one of the things that I was looking at more recently for synchronization of data among systems so that we can liberate our data from the lock-in is, for instance, how you could federate a GitHub issue tracker with a Jira issue tracker. And both GitHub and Jira have APIs. So you can run a little process that bridges between those APIs, and they send webhooks. So you can say, oh, well, if there's a new thing in Jira, send me a webhook, and I'll do a post to the API of GitHub, and the issue will get created there. And the other way around as well. So all the issues that are in Jira are in GitHub, and if there's a comment, you sync that as well. But there's a problem, because both these APIs use URLs as universal resource locators, but they use their own URLs. So this URL at the top, this is issue number 181. I did a lot of testing on this repo. And this is one that was synced from Jira, but then assigned this identifier. You still have to map these identifiers between the systems. So even if you want to liberate the data, you need to make sure that the local identifiers stay in sync. Now, Jira has custom fields in the API, so I could just, when I send an issue from the GitHub tracker to the Jira tracker, I would just add a field saying, oh, by the way, this is the GitHub URL. GitHub doesn't offer that. So what I did in the end, in this issue, you can actually look it up in GitHub, and I'm not sure if you can click edit, but when I click edit on this comment, I see this. There's an HTML comment inside the description from BridgeBot saying the identifier that it has in Jira. And that's how you can link these things together. So that's one of the basic things about the federated bookkeeping research that we did. Like, how did you keep these identifiers in track? Another way we could have done it is just keep a table in this bot, just remember which issue go with which, but then if there are multiple bots at the same time, they would not know about each other's actions. So by having the annotation right there in the data, you can keep track of those things. And when you do these little tricks, this is a very simple trick, but it really changes everything with regards to where the data lives, because now this no longer is really a GitHub issue. It's just an issue in general that GitHub has a view on, and Jira has another view on it. There are many systems of record for this data. Well, in this case, there are two systems of record. And that is a fundamentally different view on software engineering than the web of data. And the web of data is only one system of record for each piece of data. And I've been trying to build interoperable software with that, and I always run into, yeah, but now you haven't synced it. Also, so Solid is a personal data store with linked data. And local first is the concept of having a local copy of your data that you edit locally, and then asynchronously you synchronize it with the personal data store. And those two don't match with each other, because in Solid everything has a URL. But you have a local data store that might be an SQLite with a primary key, which is also an identifier for the same data. So you have two systems of record, and they both have their own identifiers for the same piece of data. So in each system of record, you have a copy of the data. You have many universal resource locators, and as you saw, yeah, a URL is a universal resource locator because you can always find it, but it's not a universal identifier of the data, because it's a Jira-specific URL of the independent issue, or a GitHub-specific one. So that took me years to realize that, and you know, once you realize it feels simple, but it is a fundamental different way to design software, I think. Another thing about worked on this year is solid data modules, which are little pieces of code that help app developers to work with data in different data formats. Because, you know, maybe there was a bookmarking app already and you're also creating a bookmark that works with Solid. Even though you both use RDF, you might be using different ontologies. So these code snippets in Solid data modules know all the vocabularies that people have used. And it knows, for instance, that your name on your web ID profile might be written down with a friend of a friend vocabulary, or maybe with a vCard vocabulary, but it extracts that. So these bits of code make these different apps interoperable. But, you know, just like software developers like to pick their own data schemas when they start to develop an app, they also like to have their own code base, because not just different programming languages, but also different frameworks and different approaches. So in theory, you know, you could make that work. Let's all use the same code and then we'll have happy software peace around the world. But in practice, we live in a polyglot world with many code bases and many data formats. And apart from many code bases, many data formats, and many identifiers for the same piece of data, the data that we work on in these apps, especially when they are local first apps, will be versioned. So there are many versions even of the same document that you might get confused about. So the realization is that just like in RDF, you have different representations of the same triple, right? The data consists of triple in RDF framework. You can write it down as JSON-LD or as turtle, it doesn't matter. You cannot say this triple is in turtle. You can look at it in a turtle representation or in a JSON-LD representation, but none of them are really like the real representation of that data. And I think we should do that not only for the representation, but also for the locators and for the location and for like different code bases accessing the same data. Just consider these all like different views on the same piece of data. Just like, you know, there, if you look at a truck from different sides, it looks different, but we don't see three trucks here, we just see three views of the same truck. And if you think of data that exists in software in that way, then you cannot really say, like, oh, this data is in that system, or this data is in that system and now I synchronize it. If the sync is fast enough, and you have two-way sync with on-the-fly translations of data formats and of identifiers, then it becomes one system. So that's why I think how we always design software, like you say, you have a database and then you have application on top of it, and then you have representation. That's a limited way to design software. It works well if you have VC funding and they say, well, you need to build a system where you're going to lock people in. But if you want to build open software where your aim is to allow people to liberate their data, then you should become part of one big bookkeeping system. In the same way as the web is woven of different web servers that all make part of the same web, and you don't pay a lot of attention when a hyperlink goes to the same site or a different site. Now, I showed how to do the local identifiers. That's what we did some research on. What we still haven't done a lot with is how to translate on the fly between these data formats. So we wrote these solid data modules that read code in different vocabularies and translate it. And we also have documentation about which data formats are used, but something that is in between documentation and code is declarative codes, such as shapes. In the SOLID project, we use data shapes that define, just like a JSON schema, define what kind of fields could be there and what they mean. There's a project from Ink and Switch called the Cambria project, which is very promising. It worked for the small example that they gave, where they have lenses on the data that do a two-way translation, and they actually integrate with TypeScript generation. The only thing is that they worked on it for a few months and then they went on to work for other stuff. So I think we should evolve the Cambria project more, especially not just in the local first community, but also towards interoperability and freedom of data. And I want to plug two more projects of friends of mine. One is Aerogel from Noel, which is a way to have a view on the data. And we were just talking here in the hallways about doing schema migrations in Aerogel. So I think that's super promising. Another one is NextGraph. I don't know if you saw the presentation yesterday. And what NextGraph does, it combines local first with RDF. So it says, yeah, everything is triples, but the identifiers used in these triples are not URLs, but they are universal locators. So evolving this software with the ground architecture of saying there's only one bookkeeping system, every system of record is just a part of a bigger system, is what I call the ultimate bookkeeping system. And it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, we don't need any other bookkeeping systems. Here, bookkeeping is used in sort of a generic way. It could be like the data that accountants work with, but it could also be bookkeeping your calendars. You know, calendars that are synced with each other are just part of the ultimate bookkeeping system. And that's what I want to be working on. So far, I only have the logo. Luckily, it exists in Unicode, so you can type it lots of times. Thank you. Do we do questions or? Yeah, if there are any questions, we have a few minutes left. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you for the presentation. I love all the ideas. It seems like you have a lot of ideas for a lot of high-level concepts. Are there any like simple demo-type apps that you've worked on?
There's not so many really usable apps that I've worked on. There are small things, but they're really just demos. There's, for instance, LightWrite is a text editing app. LightWrite.net, and it allows you to use your own personal data store. I didn't write that, but some people in the unhosted project did. And so that is an actual user, but actual, at least 5 or 6 people use it for their real notes. And in the SOLID project, there are a few demo apps, and I don't know they're used that much, but they do work. I think Media Kraken is one where you can save your movies to your pod. But we haven't shown a second movies app that is compatible with it. We do have, there is a bookmarking app called Markbook, and then there's another bookmarking app called Podit, and those two are compatible with each other. So I wrote a little demo last week of how you can switch between those applications through coexistence, they call it, and that's an old term in data engineering. So coexistence is where you have two systems. When, for instance, one company buys another company, this company they buy has a calendar system, but they want to migrate into the new calendar system. At first, they let the two systems coexist together with two-way sync. And then at some point, when everybody switches over, they switch off the old one. That's a really nice way to do a data migration. And I was talking about that with migration experts, and they said, well, yeah, that's really too idealistic. In general, the real way to do it is you migrate the data, say, okay, now you're on the new system. Also psychologically, because you know, it's hard for people to then actually switch if there's no deadline. So these ideas exist. And of course, local first is, you know, the local first movement. There are a lot of apps there that actually get used. They use the local first replications, but not so much yet a data portability between those apps. So that's what we're still working on.
Thank you.
Thank you.